title of the sermon, as you see, is Every Day. Every Day. The scripture text is a short one. It's Exodus 17 and 21. So they gathered it every morning. They gathered it every morning. Back in the 1970s, there was a group known as Godspell. Some of you may remember this group known as Godspell. And they made a song very popular that contained a very simple and a very sincere prayer. Day by day, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day. Some of you remember that song. You probably have the tune going over in the back of your mind as I say those words. There was even a bigger hit in 1974. It recorded in 1974. In fact, it became the most popular gospel song in the 1970s. It was written by Mary John Wilkins and Chris Christopherson. I think if you see the words, you may know the tune. I'm only human, I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. The tune's going through your mind right now, isn't it? And tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way one day at a time. One day at a time. That's the focus of this sermon today. One day at a time. Our scripture text is taken in Exodus 17 and 21. It comes from the story of God giving the children of Israel manna, daily food from heaven. And they were told they could go out every morning and gather just enough that they needed for that day, and not to gather more than what they could have in one day. And so that was the command from Moses. And you know how it is. There's always some folks in every crowd that wants to just ignore the commandments or the rules and just break the rules out of greed or just stubbornness, or I'm going to do it because I want to do it. And so some folks did that. They gathered more than what was needed for one day. They completely broke the direction and the guidance that Moses gave them. The Bible says when they did that and they kept it overnight, the next morning it had bred worms and it stank. In other words, they weren't going to eat that junk at that point. But except there was one exception, and that when they gathered on Friday, they could gather enough for 2 days, because the next day, Saturday, was the Sabbath, and they weren't together on the Sabbath. So by the miracle of God, it was all a miracle of God. So on Friday when they gathered, they could gather enough for 2 days. And lo and behold, the next morning on the Sabbath, it didn't stink and it wasn't full of worms, because it was a miracle of God. The whole thing was a miracle of God, Him showing His hand in divine protection over Israel. And it serves for a great lesson for our lives. If I am to be a healthy Christian, if I am to have a powerful and effective witness for Jesus, there are certain things that I must do every day. Every day. Just as there is probably in all of our lives a daily routine of physical hygiene. Well, there should be. It makes us healthier. Hopefully that we're taking a shower and we're brushing our teeth and combing our hair and staying clean. And there are certain things that we do that makes us fit and healthy. Just as there is a daily schedule of spiritual exercise. Y'all knew that's where I was going. A daily schedule of spiritual exercise that I must follow and respect and repeat every single day to live a victorious life. It can't be done once a year at a camp meeting. It can't be done just at a time of revival. It must be done every single day. Every day, day by day. The first point is every day I will offer myself to the Lord. Think about what that's saying for just a minute. Every day, I'm going to start my day and offer myself to the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us in Numbers 29 and 6 that in Israel, the priests were instructed to offer the Lord a daily burnt offering. Every day, they were offering a daily burnt offering. You think about every day is a new day with new possibilities, isn't it? We can't run carbon copies of our days for days or weeks or months at a time. We can't do that. We can't make just an annual decision for the whole year or for the whole month or for decades. You must start each day new for that day. The Word of God tells us in the book of James 4 and 13 through 15, come now you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Isn't that the truth? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. So what we're saying here on these things that we should follow and have habits in our life daily is that the first thing I should do every morning is say, God, I offer all that I am to you. I give you everything that I am for this entire day. In fact, Paul told the Romans that this was the way to live in the scripture in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the instructions there that each day we present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. I tell you, the Christian that does it every day, the Christian that starts every day with that wonderful commitment, God, I commit all that I am to you today. I give you all that I am today. I offer you all of my heart this entire day. Everything that I've got that you placed within me, God, I give it to you. I tell you, when you do that, you're not going to backslide. You're not going to drift far away from God. You're going to stay close to Jesus. Think about this. We just pray, God, let me think your thoughts. Let your ways be my ways. Let every choice I make be a choice that I make under your guidance and your direction and leading. I tell you, if you have that sincere, heartfelt, daily offer to the Lord, if you have that, then you will have no trouble at all living for God and staying close to God. The second thing we've got to do each day, every day I will call upon the Lord in prayer. In Psalm 86 and verse 3, the psalmist wrote these words, I cry unto you daily. Did y'all hear that? The psalmist wrote those words, I cry unto you, Lord, daily. You can't begin to hope to live the Christian life unless you understand and respect and apply the personal application of daily prayer. I like to look at it, if I have no time for God in my activities, if I can't give a moment of every day in prayer, then why should God have time for me if I'm not giving Him anything in my life and paying attention to Him? All I can tell y'all is that I know personally over the years that when I consult God about my day, the details of my day, asking guidance for every decision that I'm going to make that day. When I do that, then all the things of that day seem to just fit better together. All the things that happened that day seem to be good and pleasing. And when I do that, I find that I have a Holy Spirit, supernatural-led confidence and a sense of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life that day, because I've reached up in prayer to God. I also find that as I do that, I find that God's hand and His power is there. And when I don't do that, I know that it's missing in my life. Do y'all ever experience that? You ever have those moments of those seasons where you're not really reaching up in faith and you're not praying that day? Oh, we should make it a daily event that we're going to offer ourselves to Him and that we're going to call upon Him in prayer. The third thing is that every day I will search and feed upon the Word of God. Search and feed upon the Word of God. I tell you, that has become an absolute must in my life. I know, I cannot make it without taking God's Word into my mind, in my heart, in my soul, each and every day. It's like the manna. Every day, the children of Israel, every day they had to go get it. If they didn't, they didn't have any food. Oh, that spiritual food is the Word of God. It sustains me. It encourages me. It helps grow my faith, and it reminds me of the wonderful promises of God in His book, the Holy Bible. You may remember that Paul commended the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, that they searched, he commended them, that they searched the Scriptures daily. Daily. We're talking about what we do daily, every day. We're told that the children of Israel gathered manna every morning. And we read that scripture earlier. And it goes on to say, every man according to his eating. Now what that's saying is, some folks eat more than others. Some folks' requirements are different. Some folks just need a little bit. Some folks need a lot. Some people kind of in between. So you gather enough manna, according to the scripture, it says, according to every man's eating. We're all unique, aren't we? We all have different needs when it comes to food, that's for sure. But we're talking about reading the Word of God and feeding upon the Word of God. There is variety in the Bible to suit every taste. If you're really interested in romance, then read the book of Ruth. Then go and read of the love affair between Isaac and Rebekah. Go back and read the Song of Solomon. That'll warm your heart. I'll tell you, it will do it. If you love frontier adventure and high stakes, then read about David's outlaw life when he was keeping one step ahead of his father-in-law, King Saul. If you're hungry for logic, if you're hungry for passionate argument, then turn to the book of Romans and read the book of Romans, and also go and read the book of Hebrews. You will find the spiritual food that fits you. You'll find just the right spiritual food in the Bible, and you can feed on that spiritual food every single day. The fourth thing is that every day I will seek to die to sin and to self. Every day. Paul tells the Christian believers, he writes these words, I die daily. There's a missionary group that we support on the African continent, and they're in many Arab nations in northern Africa. And the group is, their theme is Live Dead. They're part of the Live Dead team. Because they're living dead to self, and they're alive to the power of God in them. And they're making sure that they remain living dead to themselves. It's not me or what I want, but it's what the Lord puts in my heart to meet the needs of the folks that I'm ministering to in whatever nation it may be, in Ethiopia, Nigeria, wherever it may be. The Lord, it sounds strange, doesn't it, when you say, well, I want to die daily, because the truth is we all want to live every day, don't we? But we're talking about spiritual things, aren't we? The Lord has told us that He wants to give us good life and give it more abundantly. So it sounds a little bit like a paradox. I say, well, we're going to die daily to the Lord and to sin. But God's Word has the answer. Look at the scripture in Luke 9, 23 and 24. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, what's the next word? Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, well, this is important. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I'm telling you, when we die to self and sin, we are saved. We are filled with the power of Christ and His Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing it is. The way to live is to die, is what we're saying. Are y'all understanding that today? In John's gospel, we read that he loves his life. He that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it for eternal life. Paul gives a very clear picture of what I'm talking about. In fact, the scripture in Romans 6 and 11, likewise you also reckon. I like it when it's reckon because it sounds very Texan, doesn't it? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive in God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you, no one can live for self and live for God at the same time. You just can't do it. No one can do that. Living for self and living for God at the same time, you can't do it. Here's what I want everybody to agree with me that you're willing to do every day. I want you to agree that every day you're willing to arrange for a funeral service. Say, Pastor, where are you going? Every day I want you to agree to arrange for a funeral service. And at that funeral service, every day, you're going to bury pride and flattery and envy and jealousy. Every day at that funeral service, you're going to bury resentment and insubordination and hurt feelings and fear and anxiety and all that goes with the life focusing on me. Every day we're going to have a funeral service for myself and all that junk, and we're going to be alive by the power of God to our Savior, Jesus Christ. John wrote in John 3 and 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. Every day. The fourth thing, every day I will speak to others about Jesus. Oh, what a goal that is for all of us. People all around us are anxious to hear the good news, to have meaning to their lives, to have hope in their lives, and to be reminded that God loves them, that they matter. You know, the biggest problem with witnessing, you know what the biggest problem with witnessing is? It's us. It's that we fear rejection, we fear humiliation, we fear we won't get it right, we feel they'll make fun of us. So we become hesitant, we hold back. But the reality is that we often find that others are eager and willing to hear what we have to say. And if we mess up, we just give it to God. God knows our heart. He knows what we're trying to do. I'd rather mess up trying to touch somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ and sit back and never say a word. Now that's failure. That's when we have failure, when we never say anything. So keep gospel tracts on your in your purse or in your pocket or in your car. We have those available every Sunday in the foyer. Remember, be reminded by the Word of God that we're the light of the world, and be willing to accept rejection or ridicule, even failure. There was an Anglican bishop in Nigeria, and he told the story of his wife being kidnapped and brutally tortured. And his message to Christians in America was this. He said, if we have a faith worth living for, it's a faith worth dying for. He went on to say, don't betray the faith we're living and dying for. Oh, praise God for those words. We must stand strong for Jesus. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must be a bold witness as long as we've got the freedom in this land to be a witness, to share with Jesus as the only hope for this nation, for the people in this world. God needs men and women who are willing to stand with Him. Now is the time, not later, not tomorrow, not next year. Now is the time to fight in the power of the Holy Spirit, to fight in the power of prayer, to fight in the power of hope and righteousness and holiness, to share who Jesus is. The world needs that message, and we must be a voice that is strongly declaring that hope to the world. The sixth thing we must do every day, every day, I will help somebody in need. Now, some of you, if you're like me, you look at that and you go, now, Pastor, that sounds impossible. How could I really, I mean, I'm going to buy groceries for somebody every day, or I'm going to pay the rent, I'm going to do what? You want me to do that every day? Stay with me for just a minute. In Hebrews 3 and 13, it admonishes us. It says, exhort one another daily while it is called today. That word exhort, it means come alongside. Come alongside. So be a friend to someone every day. Come alongside somebody every day. All of us need encouragement, don't we? All of us need encouragement. You know, pastors face all of the life events of folks in the congregation. Pastors face all those life events that include sickness and death and cancer and divorce and terrible events and disruption in people's lives. And pastors face all of those things through their congregation on a daily basis. And I am so thankful that I often receive bits of sunshine and words of encouragement. We all need support, don't we? We all need reinforcement, I would call it. We need reinforcement because every one of us, all of us in this room today, there's seasons in our life where we're under a significant amount of stress and strain. Paul wrote to the church in Galatians, he said, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Think about it. Bear one another's burdens. Well, how do we do that exactly, Pastor? How about if we just have a smile on our face when we greet one another? How about if we just give somebody a pat on the back or a cheerful answer or a compliment or a thank you or a willingness to listen? Maybe it's a spontaneous hug. Maybe it's a call or a visit or a card in the mail that says, "I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you." You know, on automobiles, they put shock absorbers. And they put shock absorbers on a car so that when it goes over the potholes and the rough part of the road, it makes the ride still seem real nice and smooth because the shock absorbers absorb all those things. In our lives, we need shock absorbers. Those shock absorbers are the words of kindness and encouragement and a pat on the back and a smile and the things we can say and do to one another that makes their day just a little bit better. Let us be part of the shock absorbers, so to speak, in the lives of those every day that we're around. Every day, I'm going to help someone in need. And then finally, number 7, every day, I will look for the Savior's return. I've shared this story before of a Christian doctor in all of his exam rooms. When the patients go in the exam room, there's a really nice framed words on the wall in every exam room, and it simply says, "Perhaps today." That's all it says, "Perhaps today." Of course, many patients come into those rooms the first time, and they're looking at that, and often the patient will ask the doctor, and he wants them to do this, What do you mean, perhaps today? What are you talking about? And when they ask that question, that Christian doctor would immediately begin to tell them, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the Bible promises that He's coming back for us any day, any moment. It's imminent. Perhaps today is the day that Jesus comes back and calls us home. Perhaps today." Perhaps it is today, amen. Perhaps today. We must never let ourselves become indifferent to the promised return of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in James 5, 7 and 8, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You will also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. There's a promise for all of us this morning. Be patient, he says, for the coming of the Lord. Be patient for that. When we hear messages regarding the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, and we hear it year after year after year, it can lose its appeal. And as a result of that, we can become impatient. And when we become impatient, then it's real easy for my mind and my heart to begin to wander away from the truth and for the promises of God in the midst of that impatience. It's never easy to wait, is it? It's never easy to wait. You go into the doctor's office, you got a 2 o'clock appointment, you're sitting there and it's 3 o'clock and you're waiting. That's not easy, is it? None of us like that. It was never easy for a girlfriend to wait for her boyfriend or her husband who's away in battle in the army. In World War II, there were thousands of young girls waiting, and it was hard to wait for their sweethearts to come home. It was true in the Korean War. It was true during the Vietnam War. It was hard to wait for those young women and to let their loved ones, their husbands and spouses, to come back from battle. It's hard to wait, if you remember this, y'all remember this, it's hard to wait until you turn 16 years old so you can get that driver's license. It just seems like it's never going to come. For me, it was hard to wait to turn 14 when I got my motorcycle license. So that was hard. Because I already had bought the motorcycle, and I was riding without the license, you understand, because you think you can get away with it, and I didn't. I got caught. So I couldn't get back up the street until I got that 14-year-old driver's license, but motorcycle license for my motorcycle. We don't like waiting. Waiting is hard. It's not easy to wait for these hot Texas summers to finally begin to subside and things begin to cool off. It becomes very hard to wait to say, when is it going to get a little bit cooler around here? We're having a little bit of that now. Let me remind myself and all of us today, it pays to wait. We're talking about the things of God. It pays to wait. Look at this word in Hebrews 6, 11, 12. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end. There's diligence there. We've got to be diligent. There's an assurance of hope. We've got to wait until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're going to inherit the promises. Y'all understand that? Oh, be diligent. Have the full assurance of that hope in our hearts. God gives that to us. The Danish philosopher Kierkegaard, he tells a story of the wild duck. With his mates, he's flying in the springtime northward across a part of Europe. And during the flight, one of the wild ducks looks down and he sees a farm and some tame ducks down there. So he flies down to where those tame ducks are, and he sees that they have a lot of corn to eat there. So he just starts, that wild duck gets in there with those tame ducks, and he starts eating that corn. And he stayed for an hour. Then before you know it, he stayed for a full day. And he liked the corn so much, he stayed a week. Then he stayed a month. And finally he looked up, and he stayed the whole summer. He liked it so much because he enjoyed the safety and the fine food that was there in the barnyard. But one autumn day, when the flock of ducks was flying and winging their way back southward for the winter, and they passed over that barnyard, and their mate heard their cries, that wild duck in that barnyard, he heard their cries as they flew over. And suddenly he stirred inside, and with a thrill and a joy of delight, he began the great flapping of his wings, and he rose up in the air to join his comrades. But he found that all the good food he'd been eating and the soft life he'd been living, he couldn't get any higher than the eaves of the barn. And so he went back and flew, turned around and came back into that barn and dropped down to the barnyard. And he said to himself, well, my life is safe here and the food is good. I'm just going to stay for the winter. But every spring and every autumn, when he heard the wild ducks honking, oh, his eyes would gleam for a moment. He'd begin to flap his wings. But finally, the day came when the wild ducks flew over him. They uttered their cry, but he paid not the slightest attention to them. What a sad thing it is. Oh, when our souls and our spirits lose sight of the promise of Jesus, that He's coming back for you and me. We lose sight of that promise. We become complacent. We become unmoved by His promise, imminent return. Every day, whisper, we must remind ourselves that it's not just about this life. That there is another future waiting us that is so incredible that we can barely fathom what is waiting for us when Jesus takes us home. Jesus is coming back for the church. He is coming back. We should remind ourselves of that every single day. Revelation 22, verse 7, also in verse 12. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Then in verse 12, behold, I'm coming quickly. He just wants to remind us one more time. I'm coming quickly. You say, well, that's 2,000 years ago. You know what 2,000 years is like compared to eternity? It's just a little more than a blink compared to eternity. Behold, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me. He's telling you and me, my reward is with me. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't become impatient. Every day, look up and say, perhaps today. Perhaps today Jesus calls us home. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. So again, today we're looking at 7 imperatives that we should do every single day. Just like brushing our teeth and combing our hair. Offer myself to the Lord. Call up to the Lord in prayer. Search and feed on the Word of God. Die to sin and self. Speak to others about Jesus. Help somebody else in need. And look for our Savior's imminent return. I tell you, if you follow this pattern, I guarantee you, you're going to make it all the way. I guarantee you, you'll walk every day in a closeness and a sweet fellowship with Jesus. We cannot, we must not take our salvation for granted. We work it out every day. It's a daily walk of our faith. Looking upward every day. Sunshine on our faces. Pressing onward every day toward the heavenly places. Oh my God, help us. As we follow these seven essentials, then months and the years and eternity, they'll all take care of themselves if we just do these seven essentials every day. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the instruction and guidance and examples it gives us. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit speaking to hearts and lives today, reminding us of these eternal truths for our daily application. Father, by your Holy Spirit, speak to us, challenge us, remind us. May we have that commitment in serving you to follow these seven essentials and imperatives every day. And as we draw closer to you each day, oh, how sweet the fellowship will be. How wonderful it will be to walk and lead in being led by your Holy Spirit and to feel that wonderful presence of you in us each and every day. We thank you for that. That is your word to us. We receive it in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.